I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
All right, Denny's. So I was open.
I don't want to eat here.
What are you talking about? Everybody likes Denny's. It's an American institution. Go ahead.
Merry motherfucking Christmas from Beast Reality. All these ho-ho-hos trying to get with me. We on their wish list, and it's clear to see you ain't had a holiday like this. Merry motherfucking Christmas from Beast Reality. All these ho-ho-hos trying to touch the beat. We doing sick shit like you wouldn't believe. It's a Beast Reality Christmas, baby. Fuck a chestnut,
I'll be roasting. I know that one.
Do you?
I like that song.
Oh, shit.
You failed. You didn't horrify
Damn
me.
Damn it.
I was dancing.
I got him good with Jingle Cats and the Death Metal Christmas and the Death Row Christmas.
I think the Death Metal Christmas was the one that really...
Worse than Jingle Cats.
No. They're both bad. They're both very bad. So that opening clip, my favorite bit was actually right before that. When he takes Charlie, he burns the turkey and takes Charlie to some fancy French place. And he's just like, hey, Charlie, you like Oso Buco? Charlie is six.
So, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Believe it or not, we are recording this live on Christmas. We said, fuck our families. The podcast comes first.
We hate our families.
And you would not believe it. We're recording this live, like right before Santa Claus comes down the chimney.
We are actually at the North Pole.
And no, this is not the third podcast we've recorded tonight. And we're already
a
fucked
little
up.
Tipsy. Yeah. If we're a little slurry, it's just because Christmas morning was so magical.
So Matt made some eggnog.
Homemade.
I have not had eggnog.
Ever.
So this is a live testing of the first eggnog.
And I love eggnog.
For myself.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Cheers. Yeah, that's good shit. I like that.
Hmm. Not bad.
Okay.
Not bad.
Okay.
But see... My wife is sitting here too, and Matt and my wife are a lot more like, they can drink brandy or whiskey like straight up.
Yes.
I'm a pussy and I can't. So with that being said though, that's pretty good.
Okay. Thank
Enjoy.
You.
Enjoy.
Emma, what do you
like it?
Like it. Okay, good.
It's strong.
Yeah. It's a little strong. There's several different types of liquor in here. I love eggnog. You know, it's one of those things, what? It's like green bean casserole, right? You get that one time a year. You can only drink eggnog for like 14 days in December. That's the only time it's acceptable.
Yeah.
So I take advantage of it.
So with that being said, the last Christmas movie of the year we're going to discuss, and that is Tim Allen in The Santa Claus.
The sun and the winter, beautiful.
Boy, that sounds like the Santa Claus After Dark.
Starring Barry White as Santa Claus.
Hey, baby, I'm the Santa Claus.
So, 1994, Tim Allen was on top of the world.
Yes.
Had the number one movie, which was this. The number one show, which was Tool Time. Home Improvement. And the number one book, which was... Oh, fuck.
I don't know.
Don't Stand Next to a Naked Man, I believe it's called.
Okay, yeah. He was on fire.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I was going to... I had that in my notes to bring up, that he, like... This was record-setting, this sort of run that he was on. Did you watch Home Improvement?
Yes.
Yeah, so did I. I love that show.
I don't know if I watched it at the end of its run, but definitely in the early years.
Yeah, and I would have been too young for the early years, so I caught it in syndication. But, like, as a kid... That was heavily in our rotation, like
sure.
family TV viewing night.
Yeah.
I loved it. Like I still dream of owning The Man Kitchen. I don't know if you remember that episode, but it's like the garbage disposal has horsepower, and you can cook a potato in 5 seconds because you use a flamethrower, and it's all this crazy shit. You got a butcher built in, and
yeah. One episode that comes to mind for me, besides the Pippi Longstocking one.
I don't remember the Pippi Longstockings.
Or not Pippi, was it not, I'm sorry, Raggedy Ann, Raggedy Andy, where the kids
are
doing a costume party.
Yeah.
The other one is he's got construction workers on his show, Tool Time, and they're showing him how to make grilled cheese sandwiches on the radiator of a truck.
I remember this. Yeah, that's great.
And he puts his on there and takes a bite, and it's like the hottest thing in the world, and He like burns his mouth off.
Yeah.
Also, Pamela Anderson got her start on this show.
Yeah, right? She was the original Tool Time girl.
Yeah.
Before, there was a replacement for her after that. I don't remember her name, but yeah, the original was Pamela Anderson. What a treat. I love Tim Allen. I like his stand-up. I like some of his movies. I love Tool Time or Home Improvement. He's fine. Obviously, gotten a little weird politically in his later years. He's got a lot to say, but I genuinely like Tim Allen, and I think his brand of humor is very funny, especially his older stand-up. And it comes across perfectly in this movie.
Yes. He started out a bit of a rough... he got busted trafficking cocaine.
Mm-hmm. He was trafficking, right? He wasn't just dealing.
You know, he was trafficking.
He was trafficking, okay.
He actually got off on a lighter sentence because he ratted out his other people, which I'm surprised he's not dead at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Typically, they don't like that.
He's also... he's been outed recently in Hollywood as being a...
a bit of a dick.
Not a Trumper, though, right?
No.
Just a conservative.
He's very conservative, although we've known he was conservative for a long time. Like,
yeah.
Okay, there's this myth that nobody in Hollywood is conservative. That's not true. There's conservatives in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Tim Allen, that's been known for a very long time. Last Man Standing, I gave a shot when it first came on, and that's where I kind of fell off, because all of a sudden the humor just became, can you believe kids these days can't even whittle their own treehouse? And it's like, okay, like... we get it. You're turning into grouchy old man.
Well, it started out kind of like he was a conservative and the rest of his family was not, right?
Well, that was the joke, right? Like, yeah. He was the not just a conservative, but he was traditional.
Mm.
So he was like the traditional dad. I think he worked at a magazine that was like a sort of like a fisherman, wildlife, game magazine, whatever. And everybody else around him had gotten soft. His daughter was a liberal arts major, and his
right.
son liked to do ballet. And
right.
why can't we just have real men in the world anymore? And I was like, all right, it was funny for like a few episodes, whatever. The brand of humor is funny, but no, apparently not a big Trumper. Very critical of January 6th riot.
Okay.
Really denounced that. So yeah, an interesting political standing, which whatever.
What we can say with certainty is, according to all accounts, he was a giant dick on the set of this movie.
And all of them, apparently. We decided this. We were going to do something else. We were going to do Christmas Vacation today, but then we were like, well, maybe we... this is a little more topical now. The accusations of him being a dick were actually from the new TV show, which I've seen.
There's two reasons why we're doing this today. We had a full month of Christmas movies lined up. So one... the actress from this film just came out now and
that
was talking
this,
about...
that wasn't this movie. That was from the TV show.
There's a TV show for this?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Good God.
We're going to talk about this because I've seen all of it and you've seen almost none of it. And Disney has inexplicably made a franchise out of this movie.
There's three of these movies, too.
Yes, there's three of these movies. There's a TV show, and there's about to be a second season, or maybe there already is.
So as you've listened 2 weeks ago, the other reason why we had to kick something off the schedule to fit Godzilla in, which I don't regret at all.
No, that was a great movie.
Yeah.
Plus, we needed a break from Christmas movies.
And last week's show was a debacle, and I sincerely apologize for that. But
just skip that episode. Anyhow, it's fine.
Yeah.
TLDR, watch Scrooged or don't, whatever.
But take us through the controversy on the TV show. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that was from the TV show. It was from an actress who played a grown-up version of a character from this movie.
Okay.
Do you remember when he first becomes Santa Claus, like the first night? He goes down the chimney and there's a little girl sleeping on the couch. And he says, I'm lactose intolerant. That whole bit...
yeah.
Whatever. The actress in the TV show plays the grown-up version of that girl, and she basically just said he was a dick on set. He was mean to everybody. He was rude. He wouldn't talk to me. He would talk to, like, a producer who would talk to me. He'd storm off set. He would do all this stuff. And she was just alleging that his behavior was just generally diva-like and unprofessional, which, look, I like Tim Allen. If you're in a position in your career where you're now a professional Santa Claus TV actor based on a movie you did 31 years ago, you don't get to act this diva-ish. Calm down.
Did he get cut off? He got kicked off of Buzz Lightyear, right?
No, he didn't get cut off. He didn't get kicked off. Cause
was he in the last one?
No, but the last one wasn't really Buzz Lightyear. Because the Buzz, you're talking about the Buzz Lightyear movie.
No,
right?
I'm talking about Toy Story.
No, he was still in the last Toy Story.
Okay, he was in the last Toy
he's
Story.
He's always been in the last Toy Story.
Because I heard they're making another one.
Yes, I
and
believe
he's involved
they are.
In that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he's still around. I think Chris Evans played the last Buzz Lightyear.
He did. I saw that movie.
But that was also like not the toy. It was like the thing the toy was based on.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really him.
It was like.
I heard that movie was bad.
The most generic, like.
Yeah.
Toothless affair you've ever seen in your life.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know whether or not this is true or was a bad experience. You know, I don't know. Who's to say?
Yeah.
But this sort of came up in the news this week, and we thought we both like this movie. We both have good memories of it. It's a very fun, festive Christmas movie. Let's chat about it. Because I'll just, you know, cards on the table. I like this movie quite a bit, but I think I like the idea of this movie more than I like the movie itself. I think the movie itself is kind of weird and not particularly great. But I have good memories of it because I've been watching it since I was a child.
Well, I think they try to make a creative world and kind of dig into the lore of Santa Claus a little bit in this.
And it gets worse in the second one.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So, like, the rocket-powered sleigh.
Yeah.
The elves, the jetpacks, things like that. There's still magic in this, too, though.
They try to make Santa Claus and the North Pole a tangible thing. What I like about this movie, kind of the similar thing I liked about Scrooged, is that he starts life as just a cynical asshole. He's just a businessman, doesn't care about anything. He doesn't care about his kid. He has an ex-wife.
Well,
he's all about the career.
In the early 90s, this trope was in all the family movies.
It was in everywhere, of course. The dad who didn't care about his kid, who couldn't make time to go to the soccer game.
Yes.
We're going to talk about Hook, I think, early-ish next
year. You've got the stepdad who's non-threatening and mildly annoying.
Right. He's the villain, even though he's just trying to take care of your wife and child.
Exactly.
But somehow we hate this man.
Yes.
Right. Like, he's trying to be the... He's taking care of your responsibility, and yet he's the villain for some reason.
100%.
Neil. No, you're absolutely right. This was a huge trope in the
80s
and
90s. Played by Judge Reinhold.
Always played by Judge Reinhold. It's really funny because in a matter of... When was Fast Times at Ridgemont High? That was like 1983, 1984.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. Judge Reinhold went from playing high school dweeb child to... divorcee remarried stepdad in like 9 years. That's so funny.
You know, Disney had a strict policy of not hiring ex-cons.
Mm-hmm.
And they made an exception in this because I think Tim Allen was just too hot to
he was
be
so
denied.
Hot. Yeah, exactly. God, I always call it Tool Time. God, so you have me doing it, and I do it too.
Home Depot.
Home Depot. Home Improvement was like the biggest thing on TV, and they just had to have him in this movie. And I think this movie absolutely does not work without Tim Allen.
Well, to piggyback off of last week's episode, you know who they wrote this for?
I read a bunch of names.
Bill fucking Murray was the main one.
I had seen Bill Murray, and he apparently passed because he didn't want to do another Christmas movie.
He didn't think it suited his humor.
I don't think it does either. I don't think he would have been good in this.
No, I agree.
We've gotten really far in and we haven't done the stats yet. Should we do that?
Yeah, let's do the stats.
Okay. Santa Claus came out in 1994, so going on 30 years now.
Good fucking... Dude.
30
This
years.
Podcast just makes us feel older and older, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, I mean, we've said many times that this podcast could just be called Mike and Matt Have an Existential Crisis every single week. Because every week we're just like, holy shit, it was 30 years ago? Yep, 30 years ago. Budget was $22 million. The box office was $190 million. Very successful. Directed by Joe Pasquin, who has 3 other feature film credits total. He directed Jungle to Jungle, Joe Somebody, and Miss Congeniality 2, Armed and Fabulous.
Good God.
So 2 of those movies... are Tim Allen projects, and the third was just a bad Miss Congeniality sequel. He does, however, have tons and tons and tons of TV credits. And I think that shows because this movie looks like it was shot for TV.
Yeah.
Like every time I watch this movie, and I think maybe it's because of just how I saw it for the first time, which would have been on the Disney Channel in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
This movie looks like it was shot to be a Disney Channel original movie.
I agree.
It's not good looking, and the sets are very obvious.
Rotten Tomatoes, tomato meter, 73%. Critics, 66% audience score. So the audiences actually hated this more than the critics, which is surprising to me.
I think this movie's divisive.
57 on Metacritic, 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the problems you have with this.
Yes, I have a lot of problems with this movie.
Yeah.
First of all, this movie, the implications in this movie are so incredibly strange.
Mm.
Starting with the idea that Santa just falls off a roof, dies, and they bequeath Santa to anybody else who happens to be around him at the time.
Right.
Or I guess technically who puts on the coat. But then it gets even a little bit weirder than that. Because earlier in the movie, as Tim Allen's driving home, it's Christmas Eve, you cut to different scenes and you see that elves are scattered amongst the crowd.
Very creepy, dude.
Very creepy.
Yes.
It's very creepy. And so my question has always been, since I was a little cynical child, did they know Santa was going to die?
There's an elf in Charlie's class.
Yes, I know.
And they make it a point to where he says his dad is Santa Claus and everybody's laughing at him except for the elf.
Yep.
This is a fucking horror movie.
It is. It's a weird ass movie. It's like they keep tabs on him. They force him into this life. It's just weird.
He's metamorphosizing before your very fucking eyes.
Yeah, it's like he has no choice but to turn into this like monster.
He's changing his entire personality.
Yes, and it's played because it was the 90s. It's played all for laughs.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things where if you think about it for more than 5 minutes, you go, hey, wait a minute. This movie's pretty fucking weird, actually.
It is 100%.
Yeah. I will also say, much like the last movie we talked about, Scrooged, my favorite bits are in the beginning when he's just being an asshole. But maybe I just like asshole businessmen. I don't know. Am I one? God, now I'm having a crisis. You know, those are my favorite scenes where he's, you know, being the neglectful father, the Christmas Eve stuff.
Oh my God.
His first run is his first. No, I don't mean in a good way. I mean, it's entertaining in the God damn it. I mean, in the context of the film, it's funny.
My favorite scene in this movie is when he's being a neglectful father.
Okay.
Matt Castro, 2023.
Send your emails too. That's not what I mean.
On fucking Christmas, his favorite scene.
Right, and we're recording this on Christmas Day. I can't believe I'm taking all the magic out of it. No, I like that in the context of a movie. That's the stuff that I find to be the funniest when he's just like
he's being a shit to his kid.
Yeah, that's the stuff I like. That makes me laugh.
Jesus. Maybe this is a good.
Those are my favorite bits.
This is a good time to talk about the fucking Denny's trip.
Yes. So
but before the Denny's trip, you love that part.
Yeah, I do.
He takes me to a French restaurant.
Okay, it's so funny. It's just the whole setup is funny. Okay, you know what I like? Oh God, this is going to sound so much worse for me. What I like about this movie is sometimes in the like neglecting father trope movies, is the father is maybe he's like trying, you know, like he wants to be part of his kid's life, but it's like no, I gotta get the big project done at the office to get the promotion to take care of you and your mother. Tim Allen in this movie doesn't give a shit about his kid. He doesn't care at all. He's just like, whatever. I'm a high powered executive. I got the brat for Christmas Eve. He'll be gone tomorrow. I don't care. He's so checked out. There's this great bit in the beginning where he's like, he's speeding down the highway. It's completely empty. He's coming from the big Christmas Eve holiday party where he's just had like 7 martinis and molested his secretary. And he's on the 1994 car phone and he's calling his wife and he's like, honey, you are not going to believe the traffic out tonight. And he's just like speeding down the highway. It's completely wide open. Just not a car around. Like, no, he doesn't give a shit. He is just bad. He's just a bad person.
So where does he try to take Charlie at first? He
takes him to some French restaurant. That's when he gets the great, you like Oso Buco, Charlie? Charlie's 6. There's only been 1 6-year-old in history that liked Oso Buco, and it was me. I've never met a single other child who liked Oso Buco.
So the next stop is Denny's.
Denny's, we get the, yeah.
Which, I'm baffled, because you would think Denny's would pay this production.
Did they not?
To say good things about them, but they really shit all over Denny's.
Oh, yeah. No, this is not a pro Denny's.
They go in.
Are you with like, Mr. Hatsutashi?
Yeah.
It's a whole Japanese businessman sketch going on behind them.
All around them is like failing dads with their kids too, and it's fucking...
No, this movie's mean. This movie's disgrace. Just fucking mean.
Everything Charlie wants, they don't have.
I'd love a... Can I get chocolate milk? We're out. Regular milk is fine. At least we know we have hot apple pie. Well, we did. Everything's gone. The dads suck. This movie's mean to men. You talk about... You know what? You talk about... Let me pour a little more eggnog and talk about this. How this movie's mean to men. This movie... Let me tell you something. As a man who can cook extremely well, every man in this movie, every father that he's surrounded by, can't cook a turkey without burning it. They can't take it. They're all divorced.
All of them.
Yeah, everyone's divorced. They can't take care of their own children on Christmas Eve. They're not interested.
Yeah.
They're too stupid to not burn themselves on the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is punching down.
The only thing that saves him is killing Santa Claus.
What, did Kathleen Kennedy produce this movie? Oh, yeah, the only thing that saves him is the fact that he fucking murders Santa Claus.
And the original script is he was going to go out there and shoot Santa Claus in the fucking face.
That's much better. I wish they would have kept that.
Because he was an intruder.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, we can't kill Santa Claus.
Tim Allen. Yeah, yeah. Tim Allen shows up with his NRA patch on, and he's just like, look, Santa Claus was technically in my domicile.
This is Florida. Stand your ground laws. Look,
we have stand your ground laws here. This is Chicago. No gun laws apply. Yeah. I can kill whoever I want. He was in my home.
Oh my,
I would have liked it better if Tim Allen just walks out, just like fucking murks Santa Claus right in the face. Well, that'll teach you to come on my property,
did
bitch.
Did you need to shoot him 75 times?
Yes, I did. He twitched. Stop resisting. Just cut to him on a video camera. Stop resisting. Stop resisting. He just keeps shooting.
Was Santa... No, I'm not going to say
nope,
it.
Nope. 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 And we're done. Moving on.
Jesus.
My favorite bit on the Santa dies scene, it's very subtle, but when he falls off the roof, he takes some snow with him, and it's very clearly fake snow because it's not actually snow. It's just like a sheet of like white. It's like that fake snow you put on a ledge or on a mantelpiece.
Yeah.
And he just takes it all with him, and it looks really cheap.
He quite literally rolls out the Santa Claus.
Yes.
Which says, whoever like finds his suit, you become Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's a business card. A clause is a line in a contract.
Right.
And they say that later, which again, it's like that businessman. I'm bringing it back down to earth. It's like that businessman angle.
Yeah.
So he picks it up, and on a dare, he puts the Santa suit on, and from that moment on, he has no choice but to become Santa Claus because
it's
the
like
suit
a symbiote with fucking Venom.
I was gonna say that. It's the Venom thing.
That's what it is.
The suit is literally consuming him.
We are Santa Claus.
We are Santa.
Fuck.
And then from that moment on, he's stuck. He's trapped.
Tim Allen was miserable a lot on the set because he's a miserable asshole. But besides that...
Yeah, because he seems like a little miserable just to begin with.
4 to 5 hours of makeup. The prosthetics were hot as shit. And he was just miserable on set because of that. And a lot of... They were shooting this in the summertime. So he was overheating constantly while he was filming this.
Was this one of those things where they like, you know, production in 90, late summer 94, release for Christmas 94, like quick release schedule?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds
like. Something
like that. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I'm pouring more eggnog, so expect more rants.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and, you know, he didn't like the fat suit, and I get all that, 100%. Yeah,
totally. I will say his transition of when he's kind of becoming Santa Claus, I do enjoy that part of the movie. It's kind of funny, because he's still halfway stuck between cynical, mean corporate executive, but he's kind of getting hollier and jollier. I love the scene where he goes to the meeting in the boardroom and nothing fits him but sweatpants.
That's great.
I love that bit so much. So this is one of my family has like a set of movies, and every year it gets increasingly smaller, that we all need to watch together. Like everybody gets together. Santa Claus is one of those movies for sure.
Do you have the 1-800 Spank Me cut of this film?
I do.
Let's talk about that.
Well, because I have it on DVD, and yeah, I wanted to bring that up. I had forgotten about that until I started reading the trivia for this movie, and then I saw the whole thing about how the 1-800 Spank Me joke had been cut. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, it was like a Mandela effect thing in my head where I went, oh yeah, I forgot about that joke. Apparently they had to cut it because Disney kept getting complaints that kids were calling 1-800 Spank Me.
And it was exactly what you think it would be.
Yes. Now, apparently that is, from what I read, that cut is now available for rent in certain places. And it's obviously still on the DVD, but Disney Plus does not have that joke.
No.
Which I hate.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. I'm sure I'm going to talk about it again. I do not like editing movies after the fact.
I agree.
Regardless of the context, I think you make a movie. If it's good, fine. If it's bad, fine. Explain why it's bad. But the idea that you can just go back and say, oh, we're going to take that little offensive joke out. We're just going to remove that.
Right.
I don't like that. I'm never a fan of that sort of thing.
No, I agree.
Look, I was a little kid seeing this movie, and when I heard 1-800-SPANK-ME, at no point did I think I must call that number. So I swear, your children will be fine.
Let's talk about Bernard. Played by the incomparable David
Krumholz.
Who we were watching Oppenheimer, and I leaned over to Matt, and I said, is that the fucking elf from the Santa Claus?
And I was like, no, that's impossible.
And then we looked it up after, and God damn it, I was right.
Yep.
And I know you've seen this more than I have, even though I've seen this movie quite a bit.
I've seen this movie a lot.
But he just completely transformed in Oppenheimer. But I think...
Well, again, this was 30 years ago.
His character is kind of the glue that holds this whole thing together.
I agree with that. He's very... His character's interesting. He's very matter-of-fact. He's the head elf, Bernard.
Yeah.
He's kind of mean, but also very nice and very sweet, and he has a job to do.
Yeah.
And he's a great back-and-forth because, obviously the whole movie, is the crux is the relationship between Scott Calvin and the father and Charlie's son. And he's the perfect go-between the two of them. He's kind of childlike because he's an elf. But he's also kind of an adult because he's older and he's in charge.
There's a girl elf in this too where, I don't know, man, there's something creepy about that whole interaction with her and Tim Allen.
When she's giving him the cocoa?
I don't know. It just fucking feels weird, man.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. She says something like, don't hit on me, I'm seeing somebody in rapping.
Some shit like that, yeah. It's like...
I don't know. Technically, she's 600 years old, so it's fine.
I guess there's that.
Yeah.
Some Pizzagate things going on in here.
Very, very Pizzagate. Little strange.
Yeah.
They do make a James Bond reference in that scene. Coco. Not too hot, not too cold, not too sweet. Shaken, not stirred.
Well, and then the whole thing where they're going through the new technology for Santa is very James Bond. That's Q.
That's Q. Yeah, Quentin. Yeah. I had a note of that.
They're showing him the flame retardant suit and all the other bullshit that they give him.
Quentin was a send up to Q, which I, of course, appreciate.
Yeah.
That scene was a little creepy. I don't know. Whatever.
He's kind of battling his ex-wife, too.
Is just like the same thing we did to the stepfathers in the 90s. She's just a woman trying to raise her kid who had this asshole husband because he's clearly the villain of this movie.
Yes.
And yet we make her out to be the villain.
100%.
That happens so many times.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, again, he's going through this metamorphosis. He gains 45 pounds in a week, he tells the doctor.
Well, we've all been there.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to gain 45 pounds after this podcast.
Yes.
So far tonight, I've had pasta, a six-pack, and half a thing of eggnog. Surprised my pants are still on.
Jesus. Ah, fuck.
Anyway. He's gaining weight. His beard is growing. There's a great scene where he goes to the doctor. It's very funny. He says, you know, the doctor's trying to explain. Doctor's trying to explain his condition. He's like, well, you know, it could be a hormonal imbalance. He's like, a hormonal imbalance? Gained 45 pounds in a week.
There's a scene where he shaves and dyes his hair, and it just all goes back to full beard and fucking gray hair again. But again, like we said, the symbiote has taken full effect now at this point.
Yes, the Venom suit has overtaken him.
Yes, it has.
He's now Santa, whether he likes it or not. It is kind of horrifically dark. Like, you don't really have... See, this is my issue with this movie. It's just like those little things. You're like, it's really fucking weird. You don't have a choice. This is just your life now. You can never see your
fucking life.
You can never see your family and friends again. You're cursed to this existence where you live in a magical, cold place full of children that you're apparently attracted to, and you only have one job, and it's one day a year, and you're going to be fat for the rest of your life. It's madness.
Oh, fuck?
Merry Christmas. Anyway.
So.
Can we talk about some of the supporting cast in this?
Yes.
One in particular, which is Peter Boyle.
Okay.
Frankenstein himself. Are you okay?
Yes. Continue on.
No, I just want to say I think he's great. And he also, Peter Boyle shows up. I'm going to talk, when we're done talking about this movie, I'm going to talk briefly about 2 and 3 in the show. Peter Boyle shows up in the future as Father Time, which is kind of cute. But he is the boss in this. And I think he's just wonderful. He's like the older, more sane, kind of counterbalance to Scott going nuts. I think he's great in this movie. He's delightful. Every scene he's in, he's really great. He's kind of a curmudgeonly boss, but also kind of sweet and nice. And mm-hmm. he's like your dad.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah. We've talked about Judge Reinhold.
He's in everything. He was in everything between 1982 and 1988. Judge Reinhold legally had to be in every film. He actually didn't see his family for 17 years.
Indeed.
And he's got a lot of bad sweaters in this.
It's funny when we talk about, like, this movie's fucking terrifying. It really is.
Yeah,
it's the horror film of the century.
I kept kind of teasing Mike this week because we were talking about the Santa Claus, and I was like, yeah, I like that movie, but it's kind of fucking weird. And I have complicated thoughts on this movie. And yeah, every time I watch this, I'm so much more excited by the premise of it. Just the idea of like, oh, yeah, it's a cute Santa Claus movie. Tim Allen, he's being Tim Allen, and he becomes Santa Claus, and it's fun, and it's family-friendly. And every time I watch it, I'm like, God, this movie's just bizarre. Like, what a weird-ass movie.
Yes.
And I always, again, like we said, I kind of check out by the second half. I'm usually scrolling Instagram or drinking a cocktail or whatever, kind of just gone.
The dance scene in the montage, that was completely improvised by Tim Allen, and it was done in one take. So,
yeah, that's cute. I like that. It's funny. I enjoy that. That's
is a what song are they playing in the background again?
They're playing, is it Sharp Dressed Man?
Yes,
it is. Yeah, ZZ Top.
Yep, yeah, that's ZZ right. Top. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's after, I mean, we kind of skipped over the middle, but basically what happens is him becoming Santa just fucking destroys his life.
Yeah.
He goes from being high-powered executive to everything thinking he's nuts. We mentioned the scene in the boardroom, which is great, where they're rolling out a new big toy for the following year, total tank. He just destroys the premise of it because he's like, no, we need to create toys for that can educate children and expand their mind. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? We just want to sell them toys. It also starts to take a toll on his already strained relationship with his son because his son thinks, because he was with him on the night he became Santa Claus, his son spends the year thinking he is Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And he starts to look like Santa Claus, and his ex-wife and Neil, Judge Reinhold, get extremely concerned, and they, you know, try to take custody away from him, which they eventually do, and they don't really press charges, but it gets really nasty. And again, because this is the early 90s, it's all presented as if they're the villains, when in fact, from their perspective, they are clearly acting in the best interest of the child, because he thinks his dad's Santa Claus, and his dad is now turning into Santa Claus, and being two rational adults, they say, that's insane, you can't have visitation anymore.
Yeah.
So they were fine.
Let's talk about the magic sack, because I think if he would have pulled that out in the beginning...
It's not that type of podcast, we can't talk about the magic sack. This is the old school movie podcast After Dark.
If he pulled that out in the beginning and started pulling all the shit out of his sack, I think he would have hold it together here.
Yep.
I think he would have proved that he was in fact the real Santa Claus when he's pulling all kinds of bullshit out of that sack. Yeah.
I agree with that. Yeah, definitely. Showing your sack in a custody dispute is always the way to go. Okay. But obviously that would like undercut the movie. You need the tension, the buildup of is he Santa, is he not Santa, whatever. Because yes, if he just pulled out the magic sack and showed them, then
if he just pulled out a sack and showed him his sack, then there would be no doubt.
Exactly. Exactly. But he didn't do that.
So. He didn't do that. See?
Yeah, so I had mentioned I just watched Violent Night, and they have the exact same setup in that movie. He just has like a sack of toys that he just pulls stuff out of all the time. But, you know, yeah, he could have shown them magic or whatever. But there's also kind of this, the bit that I like in the middle is where he's also questioning his own sanity.
Sure.
Because he's like, well, I'm not Santa Claus. That's insane. Yeah. I had a bad dream and I've gotten fat. We've all been there. And then slowly he also has to come to terms with the fact that, oh, no, he actually, this is real. He actually is Santa Claus. So that's why they don't just do that. They don't just jump into like, let me prove it to you.
Yeah, this movie tries to like, they do the best they can to explain like how he can go to all these houses, you know, in the world, and
they do too much
things like that. They really try to expand on the lore here. I'm sure they probably expand on that even more, like you said, in part 2 and 3.
It's really bad.
Why don't we dive into that right now?
Okay. So 2 is, my father loves part 2 of this movie. And whenever he wants everybody to get together and watch it, I conveniently make plans because I don't like this movie at all.
Okay.
It takes place years later. I think it came out 8 years after the original, which, because I asked you, had you seen the sequels? And you were like, no, I've never seen the sequels. Honestly, makes perfect sense. You would have been way too old to see these sequels. Had you seen part 2 in 2002, you would have been 20? 19?
19.
19? Okay. Way too stupid for a 19-year-old to see this movie.
19 or 20, around there, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the premise is he's been Santa for a while. Now he's really good at it. He's holly and jolly. He's fully embraced the role. And part of the contract that they just didn't know about was he has to get married. There has to be a Mrs. Claus. And if he doesn't find a Mrs. Claus, then he can't be Santa anymore. Cut to hilarious hijinks. He loses all the hair. He loses all the weight because he's not Santa anymore.
And Tim Allen doesn't want to be in that fat suit.
I was just going to say, because Tim Allen didn't actually want to be in the fat suit. So this is 2002, so this is where CGI started to come in. So he's mostly CGI in this, I want to say. He's not really in the fat suit anymore. And it looks just atrocious. I mean, that's all I have to say about that movie. It's just fucking awful. Like, it's so bad. That's the whole setup is, can you find a wife in 24 hours? And again, kind of like horrifying implications, because he effectively tricks a woman into being his wife.
Who is Mrs. Claus in the movie?
Okay, I don't remember her name. I'll look her up real fast. She's been in a bunch of stuff, but most famously she was in Lost. She was the blonde woman. Hang on.
The blonde woman, that narrows it down.
Yeah, no, I know. Elizabeth Mitchell.
Okay.
You would know her if you saw her, which I'm showing you a picture right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's great. But again, it's like him essentially coercing a woman to be Mrs. Claus. And then at the end, she also basically gets trapped in the North Pole and then just reluctantly agrees to marry him. As soon as they're married, she immediately gains 105 pounds and turns into the Mrs. Claus that you've seen in... Yeah.
As in most marriages.
Well, of course. Look, yes. Everybody gains weight in a marriage. It's fine. It's totally understandable. It's fine, yeah. Maybe not that quickly, but, you know. the third I have only seen once.
See, this one's infamous.
The third one?
It's Jack Frost, who I know that is the villain, played by Martin Short, correct?
Yes. And that's honestly the only thing I remember about that movie. I saw it once in theaters because...
In theaters.
Look, it's 2006... Yeah, I would have been 15. I don't know, whatever. The whole family was going, and I was like, yeah, fine. Yeah. Oh, okay, whatever. I hate it. We all hated it. It's just really? Awful.
So it's the worst one.
It's sure. By far the worst one. I don't remember a damn thing about it, except that it was completely terrible. And I remember Martin Short, because Martin Short's always funny. I remember him being like vaguely funny or making the best of it. I don't remember what it was about. I think it was the same kind of thing. Like, Martin Short's going to become Santa Claus if you can't do something by this time. Okay, there's your stakes. That's all I remember about it. And then the TV show I did reluctantly watch last year, and I think it was again the same type of thing. You have to retire from being Santa and let somebody else become Santa. I think Cal Penn became Santa, but he's like an evil Elon Musk type industrialist that just wants to use Santa magic to make Amazon. I don't know.
Cal Penn?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So this is, they tried to make this a franchise. Do you think this is worthy?
They succeeded. I mean, it is a franchise. It's people watch this shit. It's not good, but people watch it. It's a franchise. Were you gonna say, do I think it's worthy of being a franchise?
Yeah.
No. Not even a little bit.
Jesus.
I think this first movie is, it's fun. It's a fun, very festive Christmas movie. It's short, thank God. It gets the Christmas vibe right, and I like Tim Allen in it.
Yeah.
I think it's really weird, and as a movie, it's not actually very good. But it is fun to watch around the holidays. I'm poking a lot of fun at it.
I agree.
But I should say, this is one of those movies I will watch every single year for the rest of my life, probably, because
it's hilarious for all the wrong reasons.
Exactly.
But
and it nails that kind of fun, festive vibe. And it's, you know, it's the early 90s. It's nostalgia, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Don't take my critiques too seriously.
So, I think I would recommend this around the holidays, but nothing else.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. This is a movie you watch between December the 10th and December the 22nd. And that's it, obviously.
Yeah.
But Tim Allen's good. I'm still waiting for Tim Allen to get like one more good movie vehicle. I think he's got one more in him. I still like his brand of humor. He can be very funny.
Alrighty, well, that'll put a button on this Christmas, very special Christmas episode.
That went off the rails only 7 to 12 times.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. So next week, we are doing our look ahead to 2024 films and some other shit, too.
We got a best of. We got a look back. We've got some fun activities.
Yes, we do.
We might be sober.
Probably not. But anyhow, follow us, OSM Review, Instagram, Threads. Download the podcast wherever you can, and we'll see you guys next week.
Merry Christmas.